And I'd love to just welcome everyone to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight join CCL Program Director Don Adu for a training that will provide volunteers with important updates on how CCL supporting chapters transitioning back to in-person outreach with the best available recommendations regarding COVID-19, as well as covering an update to how CCL is incorporating the important element of service within our third level of political will. And with us, in addition to the wonderful Don, are three speakers that we'll be hearing from in video format: the wonderful Alan Anderson out of Minnesota, CCL's Northfield Group co-leader; the wonderful Princella Talley, CCL volunteer down in Louisiana; and Jim Probst, CCL's Coal Country Action Team co-leader and West Virginia State co-coordinator as well. And if I've done our job well, at the end of tonight's focus, we're going to walk away with the following three learning goals. We're going to have the chance to provide everyone here with the chance to really understand some of the updates related to COVID-19 regarding our advice on local activities. We'll also review why CCL is adding service as a core component of our grassroots outreach. And we'll also be able to hear directly from those volunteers we just highlighted, who've been leading the way with incorporating service in their grassroots outreach efforts. So with that, we have our agenda, we have our esteemed speakers, and I will pass it to you, Don, to take it from here. Enjoy, everyone.
Awesome. Thank you, Brett. Much appreciated. And thank you all for joining us tonight, and thank you all for listening to the recording. I'd love to start tonight with a quick COVID update and what that looks like for us as an organization. The CDC has updated their guidelines, and the big takeaway from this update is get vaccinated. I'll quote the Center for Disease Control and Prevention: if you are fully vaccinated, you can resume activities that you did prior to the pandemic. That sounds pretty awesome. So really, vaccination is the key to conquering COVID. New studies have also found that being fully vaccinated provides excellent protection from all variants of the COVID-19 virus. So to protect yourself and your community, we strongly encourage you to get vaccinated. Please do continue to follow your state and local guidelines regarding gatherings, masks, and social distancing. We trust you to make the best judgment for you and your chapter around in-person meetings, tabling events, and presentations. Please note that we do plan to hold our November conference in person in Washington, D.C. in November. We do ask you get vaccinated so that you can attend and be with your fellow CCLers in our natural habitat. Several chapters have expressed interest in holding hybrid meetings, with some folks in person and some joining digitally. We have never come out of a pandemic before, so we are counting on you to tell us what works or what doesn't work in your hybrid meetings. So please feel free to share your experiences on our COVID-19 forum on CCL Community. I'd also like to share an example of a reopening survey that you can use for your chapter. We trust your judgment to determine what is safe for your local chapter and its activities, given your local conditions and the risks your members are comfortable with at different levels of interaction. This includes in-person meetings, tabling events, presentations, etc. Please keep in mind that not everyone is able to get vaccinated. People who are immunocompromised or immunosuppressed, or children under 12 years of age, as a few examples. People who have unvaccinated household members may also be more cautious given the potential risk to their household. Your health and safety are our number one priority. So please be cautious as you begin to resume pre-pandemic activities. We do ask that you only come to in-person events if you are vaccinated. Now, we will not be requiring any volunteers to show proof of vaccination. We are on the honor system. And masks are still a good idea for group members. However, this is at your discretion. Oh, please remember that if you are vaccinated, but others are not, that it can be challenging for folks. So remember that we are citizens first and CCLers second. Not everyone is ready to be back to normal, and not everyone has to be, and that's okay. So just keep that in mind as you're making these decisions as a member of your chapter or as a leader of your chapter. And the more feedback you can get from your members and what's most comfortable, whether it's meeting inside or outside, these are all within your discretion. You have the autonomy to do this. So we trust you to make that call. If you have any questions, you can always reach out directly to me at don@citizensclimate.org. I'd also like to ask you to share on CCL Community. As you are getting back in person or doing hybrid meetings, let us know what's working, what's not, what are your challenges, and if you've got that special magic that really, really lands for everybody in your chapter, share it with the rest of the organization. Like I said, none of us have done this before, so we're all experimenting here. So any tips that you can share with us, we'd love to have them. All right, so I'm really excited to announce this new part of our grassroots outreach lever, the importance of service. Now, this is really cool. I think this is really cool. Oh, the idea of CCL's grassroots outreach is to focus on the general public in our communities. Through this outreach, we build support for climate action and carbon pricing, and we make ourselves and our work known in our communities. We find new members and build new relationships in places where we live. We invite and educate the public on climate solutions, citizen advocacy, and how to participate with one's government. We value service as a way to empower our volunteers to build important connections within our community. So within CCL grassroots outreach opportunities, we have organizing events and online presentations, tabling at local events, enrolling in a monthly calling campaign, and now serving in community organizations, which I really think is a very important part of what we can do as an organization. So when I say serving in community organizations, what do I mean? What does that look like? Well, service is an important part of being an active community member and necessary to build relationships and strengthen democracy. CCL is singularly focused on climate change with a strong emphasis on pricing carbon as an essential tool to a livable world. For many communities and organizations, immediately engaging on the issue of carbon pricing is definitely not an effective way to win friends and allies. And our goal is to always win friends and allies. So we always have to move at the speed of relationships, and relationships require trust. So one of the best ways you can build trust is to show up for someone else's cause without an expectation that they necessarily show up for yours. And I'm going to say that again, because that's really the important part here. Now, one of the best ways to build trust is to show up for someone else's cause without an expectation that they will show up for yours. All right, so why service? What does this look like? So as a part of the grassroots lever, we're adding service as a way to build relationship with more diverse people and organizations on all sides of the political spectrum. This gives you a chance to engage with folks with your CCL hat off. You know, one of the best ways to build relationships with folks is to show up and help. I'm going to give you a few examples. We've got three different speakers today that are going to give some great examples of service. But I just want to say for you personally, like if that is something that matters to you, but do it because you believe in their mission, in their focus, and in their leadership. Follow their lead and show up not as, hey, I'm here to educate you on climate change and carbon pricing. Show up as, hey, I care about your cause. I care about the work that you do, and how can I best help you achieve your goals? That's how you build relationships, and that's how you earn trust of individuals. So you've got to do it from a place of integrity, and you got to mean it. Like, this isn't something that you can just do surface level, because people are going to see right through you. So if it's something that really matters to you, if it's an organization that you do care about, whether it's focused on any number of issues that are impacting our democracy and individuals all across this nation, go ahead and volunteer for them. You know, be a volunteer for them like you're a volunteer for us. And I'll tell you, like, yeah, as awesome as you are as CCL volunteers, any other organization would be delighted to have your work and time as well. So that's kind of a concrete example. From there, I want to go ahead and take a look at some service in action. Here are some local stories. We had an opportunity to interview a few different volunteers who worked on a few different projects in CCL. So we've got some great interviewers here, and we're going to start with Alan Anderson, who the wonderful Todd Elvins interviewed. And so let's go ahead and take that away.
Yes, I'm Al Anderson in Northfield, and I had a career with the Boy Scouts of America, retired in 2012, and have pretty much been working on climate ever since. Well, one of the things that I helped get a CCL chapter started here in Northfield back in 2014. And one of the things that I did was to become one of our public speakers. And I'm also a Rotarian. And I realized that I had an opportunity to serve both Rotary and CCL by volunteering to start a climate action team within our Rotary Club. And that was born with about three members, and we started educating our own club and offering very simple tools for other clubs to start a Rotary Climate Action Team in their club. And in short order, we had about 18 members and other clubs asking us to come and present. And that's been, it's been wonderful. You know, because we got this going and just offering, you know, to give presentations to other clubs, that eventually led to us writing an article into the Rotarian magazine, which is an international magazine, as a letter to the editor. And about that, and that letter included my email, and we had about two dozen clubs from the US and in some other countries approach us for more information. And so we were able to inspire other clubs to start Rotary Climate Action Teams. And actually in out in San Francisco, a gentleman who had been a past president of his club named John Mathers really was excited about the idea. He started giving presentations to other clubs. He contacted me and said, we really should start a network of Rotary clubs who have our cats, and maybe we should have a website. So in short order, John helped organize a really good-looking Rotary Climate Action Team Network website, which is filled with different tools that clubs can use to get started. And we post projects, climate-related projects that Rotary clubs do on this website as ideas for other clubs to pick up on. And that's been surprising to us. And now we have about 120 different Rotary clubs that have started climate action teams within their club. And it's pretty exciting. When I first went to work for the Boy Scouts as a young executive, my first boss sat me down and said, you know, no one really is interested in what you've got to say until they know that you care about them. And so as we reach out to other people, rather than be there with the driving force of everything we know that's good about CCL, we need to get acquainted. We need to find out what they care about. If they're part of an organization like Rotary, I was able to plug into Rotary's four-way test, which is their creed, which lends itself to working on climate, and also to plug into a new protecting the environment focus area, which just became the seventh of their six major focus areas. And in it is a strongly worded piece on why we should be working on climate change. And so I was able to take their values, the four-way test, and their new focus area and make it the heart of my presentations to them. So start with, and I think it was Stephen Covey who said, seek first to understand and then to be understood. And that's tremendously good advice for all of our good work in CCL.
That's fantastic. Great work, Alan. I thought that was really beautiful. I'd like to move now to Princella Talley. And Princella is one of our just absolutely all-star volunteers. She is an amazing writer and an incredible speaker. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Princella.
So to tell you a bit more about me, my name is Princella Talley. I live in the Deep South, specifically in the Twin Cities of Pineville and Alexandria, Louisiana. I began as a volunteer with CCL in 2016, and I started working officially with the organization in January of 2019. An example I can give you is our Third Coast Regional Conference. Our local chapter was able to bring 47 people, a mixture of youth and adults, to the conference, and 44 were people of color. And this happened because we spent years building trust with community leaders and nonprofit owners without obligating them to be a part of CCL at the start or telling them that their focus was to get our bill passed. They knew who we were and they put trust in us because we were at various community events and we were working together for the overall good of the community. Everything we did over those years was not climate specific, but I think it's really important to remember that climate change is such an intersectional issue that most things other groups are working on will intersect with our work in some way. We have to decide if we are committed to diversity efforts enough to not always be the leader, but to create our own model of a co-beneficial relationship. Sometimes it's better to ask how we can help instead of presenting our needs to someone as what should be the top priority. People will hear us when we show them that we value them by listening and acting on their behalf. So, what does multi-sector collaboration look like in action? And what we have here is a perfect example. So these kids are from Alexandria Middle Magnet Junior High School. The principal had endorsed us on behalf of the school in 2017 because Harry and our chapter, who also has his own nonprofit, had a strong relationship with the teacher. And at the same time, other local nonprofit owners who knew us came as volunteer mentors to help the kids and to learn more about CCL in depth. Meanwhile, the environmental work we've been doing at Good Hope Baptist Church allowed the church members to feel confident in attending with them because we've been working so closely together that they were interested to learn more as well. So as this was in the works, Susan and I knew that access to the conference would present an issue, so we helped to create that access that the students and the adults would need to attend. And we even found a way to create a separate agenda within the conference that merged with specific presentations so that these new climate advocates could learn and have fun without being overwhelmed, because a lot of us already know so much about this work that it can be overwhelming to newcomers. So we were super appreciative and lucky to have Dr. Natasha Desjardins and Sana Beeke there to teach and really inspire everyone. And working with Susan, we took a lot of risk, but we did it to make this happen. And our hope was that our work would inspire everyone who attended to be engaged with us on a deeper level. We didn't say that we cared about diversity, equity, and inclusion. We wanted to show it, and we wanted people to feel it. So what was the result of all this? Well, after the conference, the junior high school decided that they would make their 2021 curriculum about environment and global health after learning from Dr. Desjardins. They decided to have an Earth Day celebration with Susan Adams as a special guest. And everyone who attended is now actively working with us. So regional diversity in Third Coast increased dramatically because we took those chances and had those relationships built on trust. We will now continue to work together. Ask not what the community can do for you, learn what you can do for the community. What do we organically provide to people who join CCL across the board? We encourage people to find their own way. Even if this work would not be their primary focus, we have so many tools that build confidence, help people to learn organizing concepts, and allows people to network in a way that promotes a deeper understanding beyond the differences that we have. I believe our culture of compassion is what will keep people with us and encourage them to invite others.
All right, really spectacular. Prinsella's work is just outstanding. And I love that. I love that focus. It's like, how can you help the community? That's the number one question, right? And I love the focus of, you know, it's like, we're not getting engaged because it's like, we're saying, all right, yeah, we'll help you, you know, if you become a CCLer. That's not the deal. It's like, we're here to help. We're here as a service. And that's what our true goal is. Excellent. All right. And with that, we'll move on to our final speaker, Jim Prost of West Virginia.
All right. So my story as far as reaching out to coal communities and people working in coal, it was kind of, in a way, kind of a coincidence because the issue of black lung was in the news and the resurgence of black lung and how many more diagnoses were being made for the disease, how younger minors were coming down with the disease than had ever come down with it before. And how it had been something that a lot of people thought had gone away. And in a lot of ways, it really had, you know, kind of faded into the background. So this was, a couple of years ago now, report came out from, congressional report came out about all of this. And it's about the same time the county next to me, there was an announcement in the paper that they were starting a black lung chapter. And everyone was invited that this was an issue. And I thought, well, I should go learn more about this. I should, you know, this is, like I said, it's the adjoining county. And so I went to a meeting and it was just really eye-opening. And really, the county I live in doesn't have, historically has had very little mining. Right now doesn't have any, I don't think. And I've had very little interaction with coal miners or coal families. But then the next county over was one of the biggest in West Virginia. And I never spent any time there. I didn't know people from there. And it's kind of twofold. One is that we had a former miner from this county come to one of our meetings and show an interest in getting involved. And so I went to visit him. And so I got to know some about that part of West Virginia. And I got to see what it's like to live in a county where coal mining is so prevalent. I mean, I'd never thought about the fact that there are people that go out on their back porch and look up and there's a strip mine over their head. You know, it's like, it's in their view shed. I mean, it's practically in their backyard. And it just, and that every day when you go, wherever you're going, you're encountering coal trucks, one after another. And you're dealing with the noise and the dust. And then these guys are getting sick and they're having to deal with it. Their families are having to deal with it. And so that just, not even so much because I thought it was a way to get more involved with coal communities. It just became sort of this is something that is important to where I live and I should be involved with it. And so I got involved with the local Black Lung, the Boone County Black Lung Association. So I'm actually a member. They used to meet every month. I would go. I pretty much made all of their meetings. And so the service part of this whole thing comes down to what I learned is that as far as dealing with our congressional offices and they have no training in that, no experience in that. And my experience with CCL is extraordinary when it comes to that. And it, you know, I've found that it's a skill that I've, you know, gotten from CCL, learned from CCL, and I can apply it to working with these folks. And I guess that's kind of a lesson here, is that going into this, I didn't really know what I had to offer. I'm not a former miner. Most of the people involved in the Black Lung Associations are former miners. And so over time, I did a lobby trip to DC with them. And I just found that it was welcomed that I would jump in and help, or, you know, run a meeting and things like that. So I just kind of went with that. But it's like, you know, you can't always go into these things with preconceived notions of what you're going to, how you're going to function in these situations. You kind of have to feel your way in and find out what you might have to offer to them. And I mean, CCL is kind of like that anyway, right? You know, what people bring to their local CCL chapter. Well, the other thing that that's led to, and I'm really only now starting to try and carry this further, is that there's some union, you know, I've garnered some respect amongst these folks, you know, and so I'm sure sometimes they wonder, what the hell's his motivation? But I mean, I've been doing it long enough that I, you know, I don't think that they have to, you know, they have to be too suspicious at this point. But I think this is going to lead to some outreach to the UMWA in West Virginia. Kind of funny, when I started going to these Black Lung meetings, a guy came up to me and he's like, oh yeah, I've been to your shop. I bought a machine off you that you were selling a few years ago. I'm still using it, you know, and it's like, it's finding out what you have in common. I would have thought our lifestyles are very different, but, you know, it turns out that the most fundamental things that we all care about are the same, you know, for the most part. And we love our children and our grandchildren and want to make sure that they're going to have a future. And so yeah, just being very open, you know, just to what, I mean, it's another thing we learn in CCL is go in and listen. You really have to go in and listen, and you can't go in and start trying to sell carbon pricing. You may never be able to sell carbon pricing, but you can still talk about other ways that we can deal with our changing climate, you know. And so I guess it's just those things, being very open-minded, very willing to listen, and not having any preconceived notions.
So cool. I love that. It's like listening, going in and listening. That seems like such a simple thing. It can be so hard and so easily overlooked. Oh, Brett, let me turn it over to you to talk about what this looks like in your action tracker.
Thanks, Sean. I just wanted to make sure to take a moment, since we've gone through this new important addition to our grassroots outreach, how you can get credit and track your actions on our action tracker. So from CCL Community's home dashboard, you can click on the action tracker link. And then from there, you want to create a new action. You can click on login action. A couple of different places will get you there. Just click on that login action button. This is going to be within your grassroots outreach. So you're clicking on that lever. It'll drop you down to where you can click next. And from there, at the moment, you'll file this under other. Soon, IT will provide a new category, a second or fourth rather box that says service. But for now, type in other, share the name of the event, what the host or the organization was, when it happened, who else was involved. And then you'll see here, you can add additional volunteers and you should be set. Just click submit, and that way we can make sure to track and give credit to all of the service that we're doing.
So I'd love to open it up to y'all. After hearing those stories, what does this bring to mind for you? How would you go about incorporating service into your local chapter?
What a great question, Don. We look forward to learning from all of you on the line tonight and listening in later. So please share what's been working for your group in the forums. Here's a link to it in the chat, and Don's email is provided as well. We hope you found tonight's training useful and empowering, and we look forward to hearing more out there. Keep up the great work, everyone, and stay safe in the meantime.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.